Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
It is Monday night. Always great to be with you for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to be with you, as always. And a jam-packed show for you here tonight. Of course, Commodore head football coach Derek Mason will join us, hopefully for the first two segments of the show coming up. And then at the bottom of the hour, we anticipate having Commodore women's soccer coach Darren Ambrose with us, Vanderbilt, to end the quarterfinals of the Southeastern Conference tournament taking place in Orange Beach, Alabama. Vanderbilt coming off a huge 4-0 win over Mississippi State to advance to the quarterfinals. And so we'll have an opportunity to visit with Darren. He is a good friend of the show, has been on with us before. We look forward to that. And then also look forward to having a few minutes to visit with Dr. Christine Kelly, who is Deputy Athletic Director for Internal Affairs, newly hired here not so long ago. And great to have an opportunity to visit with her. Senior women's administrator has a lot of things on her plate, and we'll have an opportunity to get to know her a little bit and what she is all involved in as she has stepped into this role at Vanderbilt. So a lot of things to get to today. Of course, so many things going on, not only the soccer, but we certainly want to mention John Augenstein and his performance in the Masters, making the cut as an amateur, finishing 3 over par. But what a great performance, great experience for the Commodore senior to do that and be a part of a very special Masters, the only one ever played in November. And so it was great to watch that and see that. And so our kudos go out to him. And we hope to visit with him in the not-too-distant future. Vanderbilt football this season brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will visit with Commodore head coach Derek Mason. That's coming up in just a moment. And we welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you as we talk Vanderbilt athletics for this hour every Monday night, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Time. Glad to have you with us wherever you might be. Gupton Jeep is your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters, has been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. They bring us the keys to the game feature for each broadcast as we look forward to the next one that comes up. Another early kickoff on Saturday as the Commodores will host the Florida Gators. What a great team rolling in here to Vanderbilt Stadium. That's an 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff for the broadcast on Saturday. So our tailgate show will begin at 9:30 a.m. with the broadcast as we get set for the Gators to roll into town. Vanderbilt looking to bounce back after another performance where they dug a hole early and then fought their way out and made it very interesting at the end. Kentucky hanging on to beat Vanderbilt 38-35 in Lexington as the Commodores fall to 0-6 on the year. But again, down 14-0 after the first quarter, and they come fighting their way back, did a great job of giving themselves an opportunity, down 2 scores with 2 minutes to go, and the freshman quarterback, Ken Seals, marched the team, you know, down the field had an opportunity, scored the touchdown. Then you have to go for the onside kick, which is so difficult to be able to convert these days. You just don't see many of those now with the new rule changes, where you can't just load up everybody on one side of the field. And so, but the Commodores gave themselves an opportunity before coming up just short and falling, you know, 38-35. But it's interesting, Kentucky, and I was looking back at the stats, over the last 34 games, That's going back, you know, 3+ years. Kentucky has given up 30 points 3 times, and this was one of those. And so kudos to the Vanderbilt offense to be able to put some scores together, put some drives together, had a 17-play drive to score, had a 15-play drive to score as well. So they did a lot of really good things after a slow start. And Commodore head coach Derek Mason joining us here. And, Coach, first I want to start with, and I know you won't mind this, you weren't able to be with us last week because you had a death in the family. Your grandmother passed away in Arizona, who I know is extremely close to you, and that's why you were not able to be with us last week. And so I just wanted to send our condolences out to you, because I know that was very, very important to you.
Thanks, Joe. I'm sorry, you know, but I missed your show. But, you know, in this, you know, we're talking about somebody like my grandmother who, you know, poured a lot into me. I mean, she was 97 years old, and Viola Demery was a different woman. She was built from a different cloth, cut from a different cloth. You know, she saw a lot in her lifetime, but, you know, she was proud of, you know, my journey. You know, I was the oldest grandchild, the first grandchild. And so to see me graduate from college, to see me married, to see me with children, to see, you know, like my career, it always brought her great joy. And so, you know, she's now gone home, and she will be missed but never forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to let you know that we think of you in that time.
Thank you.
So you've got a team. And Coach, I know you didn't win the game, but when I look at this offense, this is like 3 games in a row with 400 yards or more of total offense. You score 35 against a Kentucky team that just does not give up that many points. Is this offense, in your mind, maturing, or are they coming into their own?
They're moving in the right direction. I mean, this offense, we knew that it was going to take just a little bit of time. I mean, obviously, when you have a young quarterback and you got some pieces that need to gel and mesh. But, you know, fortunately for us, for the most part, we've had some slowdowns and some piecemealing. But for the most part, it's been able to stay together. And I think, you know, as this thing continues to grow, you're just starting to see, you know, guys emerge, whether it's up front, whether it's the quarterback play, you know, like continuing to get better every week, whether it's, you know, like the running backs in that position, whether it's moving, you know, from Marlowe to Brooks, you know, to a group of people. And then you look at the receiving core and the tight ends. People have just been able to, you know, show up and get better, you know, as the season's gone along. So I knew it would happen. You always wanted it to happen faster. But in this, this is a time and place, man, where hopefully we're starting to hit stride, and in doing so, this thing is going to continue to get better.
I tell you what was fun to watch, Derek, and there were a lot of things that were fun to watch, but one of those was the couple of situations where Ken Seals marched this team down the field. You get inside the 5-yard line, and then you make a change and bring in Wright at quarterback, and he brings a different dynamic. Discuss, if you would, making that decision, because that's one of those situations where guys have to be able to handle it and understand that it's not a slight to anybody, you know, and be able, and I'll tell you this, when Wright scored the touchdown, the first guy that greeted him coming off the field was Ken Seals. I thought that was very impressive.
You know, these guys always root for each other. They're competitive and never combative, and that's important. It's about those guys want to win, and it's about, you know, competing at the highest level. We talked about the idea of just changing the math a little bit and making, you know, teams, you know, have to play like 11-on-11, and, you know, like, they're different, like, quarterbacks, but they both can throw. Ken Seals is mobile, man, but they're just different quarterbacks, and so we understood that there may be a chance or an opportunity to look at different ways to attack the red zone. Like in that ball game, and that's what we did. I mean, we just attacked it differently, and you know, it yielded production. You know, that's the name of the game. When you get down there, you want to score points, and so the ability to score points is paramount for us. You know, Ken, you know, like, let a couple of, you know, scores down there. Mike was able to you know, I put the ball in the end zone, you know, a couple different times, one throw, one run. And again, I think it's team. This group that we have now, you know, like as we move forward, and it's been whittled, you know, like down to, you know, a select group. These guys are all about each other. I mean, they're working hard to understand, you know, what do they need to do? What do we need to do as an organizational program, you know, units and groups, you know, to compete and win? And that's sort of where they're pushing it right now. So that's the track we're going to stay on, and we feel good about, you know, that phase of the game for us. We just got to continue to pick it up in other phases.
It's got to feel good, Derek, to be able to make that change and not worry about the emotional dynamic, you know, that you don't worry about a guy sulking or saying, you know, I marched this team down the field for 80 yards and now you bring in another guy to take it the last five. Yeah, that's not a part of this, and that to me is pretty special.
Oh, it is special. Both of these young men come from good homes, okay? I mean, and not saying that the rest of our guys don't. I think all our guys come from the good homes. But these two young men were raised on the idea of being competitive, like learning how to be a good teammate. Like since the day that they walked in the door, they've been competitive, but they've been great teammates. And I think like that's what's important because, you know, that's got to start at the top, okay? I mean, it starts with the guy that touches the ball every play. If those guys are selfless, well, then everybody else will start to play for each other, and that's exactly what they're showing.
Well, there was a guy that touched the ball almost every play in the game on Saturday, and that's Keon Henry Brooks. You know, career high, 29 carries, 123 yards, 121 officially is what he ended up with, so career highs in both. But we saw him leave the game in a lot of pain. And Coach, I know we don't necessarily talk about injuries to a great degree, but I think we saw him in a lot of pain. So I guess the question would be, just in general terms, how is he?
He's doing well. He's doing well. I mean, he felt, you know, better the day after, you know, for us, obviously we get back on the practice field, like tomorrow morning. And so, you know, you know, when you get a little dinged up, you know, the biggest thing, that we can do is give him time. And so, that's what we've done. He's been in, for treatments, just like anybody who's got a nagging injury or, you know, like something that needs to be addressed. He's been good about it, but man, I've seen him every day. He got the same smile on his face and he still got the same earring in. So, all I know is that, you know, like this young man wants to play ball. So, we'll get it figured out as we go through the week, and, we'll know something, you know, as we move towards Thursday.
He's got a great smile and a great personality. I tell you, I really enjoy spending time with him. But let's talk about the guys behind him. Now, Javion Marlowe is going to be available this week, from what I understand.
Yes.
Let's talk about the other two guys.
Yep.
Rocco Griffin, who is a true freshman who has kind of been thrust into the mix, if you will. And then Mitchell Pryor, a guy who I just think is a journeyman guy that just does everything you ask the guy to do, and he does it to the best of his ability, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, a really solid player.
Yeah, you know, Rocco's a young guy who we thought, you know, maybe could factor into the season and you know, has. But Mitchell Pryor is a Swiss Army knife. You can look at him, like in what he does, you know, whether it's special teams, whether it's as a running back, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. A lot of times you'll see him in on third down pass pro. But when he's touched the ball, and this is the funny thing, if you look at his yards per carry, it's probably as high, and his touchdown to carry ratio is probably better than anybody else's on the team. So I look at Mitchell and I said, man, you must be the golden child. And he said, nah, coach, I'm just trying to, I'm a blue collar guy, man, but just looking for, you know, a blue collar opportunity. And so we make sure that we try to give him that every week, but he's been a Swiss Army knife for this football team, and he's the thankless guy. He's the guy that does everything, and nobody really notices. And when it's all said and done, and you figure out how productive he is, so you know Mitchell Pryor deserves a shout out, and he's going to continue to do what he does.
Well, it's great to always visit with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. We'll take a break. We'll come back more with the coach coming up here on the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, great to be with you. Always great to be joined by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. Vanderbilt will take on the Florida Gators on Saturday, an 11 a.m. kickoff from Vanderbilt Stadium. Coach, you and I talked about this a little bit after the game on Saturday. One of the issues with this team is a slow start. If you look at the stats, you know, Vanderbilt's been outscored 66-3 in the first quarter. And so you're coming from behind all the time. I know you've talked about this. I know you've tried to address it. What can you do to turn that around?
You know, we've looked at exactly, you know, how we practice and what we do. And, I mean, you've been out to practice. I mean, you see what happens. We start with a competitive period, and I think that's important. You know, it's about the level of intensity that these guys, you know, have to start with. You know, we've got to bring energy, you know, as a coaching staff. And they've got to bring energy. And it's about being prepared and understanding that I mean, you got to be in attack mode. And listen, I mean, that's something that you can, you know, work hard to manufacture. But really, it's got to become part of, you know, how you play the game and understanding why, like, it's important. It's always hard to play from behind. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we continue to talk about. Obviously, as our offense is getting, you know, geared up and defensively, you know, like, we're working to try to make sure that we can be, you know, in attack mode, you know, like, a little more. Hopefully what that starts to do, like, in the beginning of these practices and being aggressive on both sides of the ball, but it starts to pay dividends for us. But the opportunity we have this week is Florida, so we're playing just one of the top 10 teams in the country, probably one of the top five, so yep. No time like the present to start fast.
I think one of the interesting things about your group, and I think Commodore fans would agree, is being able to watch the in-game adjustments that take place. And we've seen it on both sides of the ball, really displayed the last two games. You know, you fall behind early, and then you see these adjustments that are made on both sides of the ball to turn things around. To me, that's a special trait to have a coaching staff and a team that can make that kind of in-game adjustment.
Yeah, it's been, you know, awesome to watch, you know, Coach Bruce and Coach Fitch, you know, over the last couple of weeks, just look at, you know, what they're seeing and, you know, how can we, you know, move a guy here or, you know, attack this or adapt and adjust here. But you know what? There's some elements to the game where guys, you know, are still going to just have to make plays. And I think that's what they've done a good job of is just keeping guys in the fight and keeping them rallied to make sure, man, that look, we can, you know, adjust this and worry about this series. You know, this is how you try to get back in it, or this is how, you know, we can look to gain a tactical advantage. So, you know, series-to-series adjustments are, you know, extremely important. We just need to learn how to do it from ahead, not behind.
How much of a challenge has it been, Derek, because I'm willing to bet that pretty much every week you walk in on Tuesday and have a lineup, and then by the time you get to Saturday, it has changed for a number of reasons. I can't imagine what it's like to try to put together a game plan and a scheme when your personnel change as much as they have.
Well, I think that's where, you know, like, the toughest part of the chess match, you know, comes. You know, like, football is like a game of chess, man. I mean, you're trying to move the pieces around strategically to make sure that you don't have one person, you know, handling all the stress. And so, like, with that being said, you know, a guy here, a guy there, I mean, it makes a structural difference in terms of how you schematically play the game. You know, so what we do, though, you've got to make sure, man, that we never go into games talking about the tactical disadvantage. The thing that you got to do is, you know, work hard to make sure that every scheme, every adjustment that you make is about, you know, I mean, trying to put guys, like, in the right spots and making sure that guys feel not only comfortable but confident in doing what they're doing. And, you know, if they don't, well, then you got to make the adjustment. But, again, it's about having confidence and showing confidence in the guys that you play. And it's got to be the next man up, even though it may not necessarily be the right chess piece. OK, looking, it's the chess piece that you have on hand. So that's the piece that we're going to use and maneuver. And hopefully what we're able to do is called checkmate.
Finally, Derek, I want to ask you two things about fellow coaches. First, Mark Stoops. And I watched you on the field before the game and your conversations with Mark, and then after the game. And, you know, a lot of times you see the drive-by, pat on the back, shake your hand, and move on. That was not the case. You guys spent quite a bit of time just kind of talking, you know, at midfield, and it just comes across that there's a lot of mutual respect between you two.
Yeah, there's a lot of mutual respect. I mean, I've seen, you know, I mean, Mark build that thing from the, you know, when ground up, and you know, when we get together, well, whether it's in season, off season, we just try to talk about, you know, compare notes a little bit, and you know, he just said, hey, look, man, just, you know, stick with it. I mean, he goes, it's about being resourced the right way. It's about making sure, man, that you get, you know, like the things that you need in this deal, man, to make it happen. He goes, you know, like a lot of people don't quite see, you know, everything that goes on behind it. But he goes, and that's what he was talking to me about. He was just talking to me about, hey, you know, how's the family? But then he started talking about, I mean, I asked him about his facility, because you look at their facility and, you know, it's changed. You know, in my years in the conference, you know, like Kentucky's done a really good job of resourcing that place the right way. It's been built out like the right way. And so, you know, he's just, you know, constantly, you know, encouraging me and just saying, hey, look, man, you're going to get this thing where you want it, man. Just stay the course. And, you know, I've always got a lot of love for him, man. He's a Youngstown guy. So anybody from Youngstown, is good with me, because you got to be a tough nut to come out of Youngstown.
He's got about half his staff is from there. I mean, they've put a lot of, he's got a bunch of guys from Youngstown.
I know. I call him the Youngstown Mafia. So that's what me and like some of his coaches were talking about. I was like, hey man, it seems like the Youngstown Mafia gets a little bigger every time I see you.
well, the other thing finally, Derek, is one of your brethren, you know, lost his job in Will Muschamp at South Carolina. And we all know, I mean, there's a lot of money on the table, and we all get that, but I think a lot of us forget the personal aspect of that, and the impact it has on families, on assistant coaches, and all. That's a tough part of this job, isn't it?
Yeah, when we step into these seats and when we get into these chairs, I mean, I've got nothing but admiration and respect for Will Muschamp. You know, I've seen him on the field, I've seen him in recruiting. You know, we understand what we take on here. We're public figures, you know. Fan bases and you know, your alumni groups, man, they want like the opportunity to be prideful about, you know, man, what gets like displayed and what shows. And you know, man, sometimes when we don't meet those expectations, you know, programs and organizations move on, and we understand that. But you know, our job is to make sure that we resource kids, that we, you know, develop players, that we, you know, get young men, you know, like across those stages, and we graduate them to the best of their abilities. But we also make the journey over a 4 to 5 year period, and it helps the health skill set, you know, young men for life. And I think, you know, man, Will's done that to the best of his ability. So, you know, he leaves that place not having any regrets, man. I mean, you do the job, and you know, at some point in time, you know, it's time. So, with that being said, you know, I mean, I've already reached out to Will, you know, man, and I wish him and his family the best, and we'll just continue to keep moving forward.
I'm going to have your friend Darren Ambrose on here in a couple of minutes. Anything you want me to ask him?
Hey, you know, like, ask Darren, man, but has he, now that, you know, man, the season is winding down, is he really going to work on his golf game? Because last time I heard from him, he challenged me this summer, and I told him I didn't have any time, so... and he's bragging about how well he plays. So, you know, man, maybe sometime in the far-off future, man, I get a chance to get on the course, man, and see what he's really got.
He's not bad. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
No, I'm just telling you. He may not be you, but he's not bad.
That's good to know. I'll keep that in the back of my mind. Thanks, Joe.
Coach, thank you so much. Always good to be with you. Coach Derek Mason joining us here on the Commodore Hour. We'll take a break, and we will have Darren Ambrose with us right after this. This is the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to have you with us. It was great to have Commodore head football coach Derek Mason with us just a couple of moments ago. And now joining us from Orange Beach, Alabama, is Commodore women's soccer head coach Darren Ambrose. Vanderbilt in the quarterfinals of the Southeastern Conference Tournament. They will take on the Tennessee Volunteers tomorrow at noon at Orange Beach. And Darren, first, Coach Mason told me to ask you about your golf game. So I think he's already thinking about when he's going to get you out on the links when you guys get into the off season.
Well, my golf game is going to get really good in a few weeks. We're going to be done here hopefully for Sunday in the SEC final, and we roll into Thanksgiving, and with a dead period in recruiting, I'm going to have some time on my hands. So he's going to have to go practice if he wants to play me.
Well, take us back to the win over Mississippi State, 4-0, as solid a performance, yeah, I would assume, as you've had all year long.
Yeah, I think it's the timing. A lot of things came together. I think the girls felt a fresh start. We've played really well all season and had one or two moments that have let us down, even though we've played really well through the course of the 90 minutes. But I thought yesterday that it came together really well. Really proud of the way the girls played. From an attacking perspective, we were dangerous. And, it was great to see some new faces get on the score sheet. A couple of our freshmen got on who we think very highly of and scored a couple of great goals for us too, which is nice to show our depth and a little more experience that they've had now, and that's starting to shine.
For those who don't know, this year's SEC tournament is different than usual. Everybody went to Orange Beach. It's a different format. It's a different setting. What does it feel like?
I'll be honest with you, for us to be out in Nashville at the moment, I think it's a respite for the girls and for all of us to be in by the ocean. And it's almost normal. It's not quite though, because we're still isolated in our meals and in our own rooms all the time. It's great to be down here. It's great to be, have a little bit of freedom and be on the beach, but there's still that sense that things aren't quite what they normally are down here with all the testing protocols and isolation still. But I'm not going to grumble. Sitting here looking at the ocean every now and then doesn't hurt anybody.
You and I talked a while back, Darren, and I won't talk about all of it, but in part of it, I don't think any of us realize how challenging it is to do this, to have a team, to go through this process. I don't think any of us who are on the outside understand everything that you have to go through.
No, and I think back in June, July, when the SEC made the decision, we were looking at bringing our girls back and the football was coming back, and we were all excited at the idea of having a season and competing. And I think, a lot of people were, the thought of having some degree of normal schedule was appealing and exciting. But when you get into the middle of it, you realize that the most important thing is you don't want to see a kid get sick. You don't want to see a coach get sick. You don't want to, you kind of have all these processes in place that are like required and necessary, but they're draining at the same time. Our kids have been absolutely first class, sticking to those policies, staying in their rooms, limiting their contact with anybody outside of their own teammates and their own family unit in their own room. And that, I can't imagine being a college kid and really doing that for 4 months, which these girls have done. And but it also, it is challenging in itself. Zoom classes, no in-person meetings, Zoom classes all the time. And again, every day, three times a week, you're waiting for test results and hoping that no one is positive and that you're not going to have girls missing for quarantine for a couple of weeks and that everyone's healthy. It's just the emotional part of this is, when you're trying to push and demand the most you can for your athletes, and all these kids are wired to perform and give their best at a time when they are emotionally drained and being stretched in other ways, it's been hard to find that balance of how hard do you push and still be, respectful of the difficulties that they're all facing, that we're all facing, in these times.
It's interesting because I know you're a coach and I know you focus on what happens on the field.
Yeah.
but I know you focus off the field as well, and you're not necessarily a psychologist, but in some ways you kind of have to be right now, don't you?
Yeah, we've had quite a few conversations, especially as we got into August, September time, and recognizing that this wasn't going to be normal. But you know, even though we were practicing and adhering to the different, again, the different medical requirements, off of the field, the isolation piece, limited contact with each other, with your players, with them, with each other, I mean, it led to some difficult time. And, you know, a couple of kids in quarantine here and there during the early part of preseason. Isolation, it does take its toll. There is no normal routine. But sports is about human interaction, and it's about relationship with people, and that's why we do sports. It brings the best out of us, and I think this is you know, in these times, it's hard because you lean on each other all the time, and you value each other's company, and you know, you want to be pushed by teammates, and you want to enjoy those common moments, those shared experiences, and you know, this past 4 months, while we've had some of those moments, it's been very, very difficult to read all the time the pressure our kids feel, the academic pressure they feel, some of the social struggles that they go through. You know, I think it's been a challenge from my perspective to read roughly where they all are. You know, 30 girls, and figuring out, you know, what's the temperament, what's going on in the world, and then trying to demand appropriately what can they give today. That's been pretty difficult.
You face Tennessee tomorrow at noon. You played them during the regular season. Tennessee is the Eastern Division champion. You played them this year in Nashville, a 1-0 overtime game, actually in Knoxville.
In Knoxville.
In Knoxville. What do you remember about that game?
I thought we were excellent. I just remember when they scored in overtime. I think the team was stunned. I was a little bit shocked. We felt over the course of the game and watching the game back, we had numerous chances to win, to score. We thought we should have come away comfortably. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of bitterness that resides from that game for us. That was our first loss to Tennessee in my time here. So, you know, for my senior class that had never lost to Tennessee, I think it stung. So I can remember talking to him after the game that, you know, it's a new experience for us, that we got to put this in the back pocket because we may use this later this year. And lo and behold, tomorrow we get a crack at him again. So I just remember feeling comfortable and pretty happy with how we played and performed. And just had one moment where we lapsed. And, you know, that's the sport of soccer, right, is, you know, possession. And the better team doesn't always walk away with the, you know, with a win, but they found a way. But I think we're a lot better than we were, you know, 2.5 months ago. I feel really good about where we are. I tell you, if there was a game that our kids could have picked to play tomorrow, it would be Tennessee. So I think we're in a good place at the moment.
Yeah, you led me into my next question, which is I think, and you said it, that you're better now than you were a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Why is the team better now, do you think, than they were?
There's a couple of things that go into that. Is one, you know, the way we play and the style of play we demand of our kids requires incredible timing and precision, and it takes time to develop that. And early in the season, we weren't quite firing on all cylinders, and some of the timing was off, and some of the understanding. We had a lot of injuries in the first 5 weeks of the season, 4 weeks of the season. You know, our depth was challenged, and we have a lot of very good younger players, but when you open up as a, you know, with SEC games and non-conference games, your freshmen are thrown into the fire straight away. So we were a lot of challenges early in the season. But again, I think over time, the relationships have developed. There's a better understanding of what we're trying to do. I think our seniors have started to rise to the occasion. The injuries have started to clear up. So it all points to, you know, things. It's, normally, when we've played 8 games, we would be less than 50% of the way through our season. And, you know, in my time here, I've always said, we want to be playing well. You know, we hit the last third of the season. And normally, you know, we'd be less than halfway through the season right now. So it's we're just starting to get our stride, to be honest with you. And I think that's a part of it. You know, what we do and how we coach the team requires tremendous timing and understanding. And when you're trying to gel all those moving parts together, it just takes a little bit more time.
Vanderbilt fans know Vanderbilt, Tennessee in football. They know that rivalry. They know Vanderbilt, Tennessee in basketball. They know it in baseball to a degree. Is that rivalry there in soccer?
Absolutely. I no doubt. You know, I've always felt that when I got here. In fact, it was one of the, you know, I learned quickly in my first year here what, you know, what the girls felt at that time in that team. But, you know, again, it's you know, the loss this year stung for that reason more so, because it was Tennessee and it was my first experience losing to Tennessee, and I felt really there's a little extra, there's a little more kick in that than I really want to admit. You know, so we're hoping to steady the ship again. But the girls are absolutely, there's no love lost. You know, it's a battle every time. It's usually a really close game, and we find a way to come out on top. And that'll be the case this year, next year, and you know, as long as I'm around, I'm sure it'll be the case.
So, finally, do you eat Gulf shrimp while you're down there, or is it all the basic, you know, the meat and three kind of thing for meals?
Well, I'm an English guy, so I like potatoes, right? So I've got to find, you know, I got to find potatoes down here, but I do like Gulf shrimp. The challenge is trying to get meals to 30 people and have them delivered and catered, and we can't go out anywhere, so yeah. It kind of limits you a little bit. But I won't complain about the food we've had and the way that our staff have organized the team and taken care of us. They've done a first-class job, and like I said, it has been a break to be out here in the sun, you know, by the beach for a couple of days. It's been reinvigorating, and we're hoping that tomorrow that shows as well. So,
well, Darren, best of luck. We look forward to it tomorrow at noon against Tennessee, and hopefully a run all the way to the championship.
And we do too. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the time.
Always good to visit with you. Darren Ambrose, the head coach of the Commodore women's soccer team. They will take on Tennessee tomorrow at noon Central Time, Orange Beach, Alabama, in the quarterfinals of the Southeastern Conference Tournament. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will visit with Commodore Deputy Athletic Director Christine Kelly. That's coming up right after this. This is the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, great to be with you. It was great to visit with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason and women's soccer coach Darren Ambrose down at the Southeastern Conference Tournament. And now our first opportunity to visit with one of the newest members of our department, Dr. Christine Kelly, Deputy Athletic Director, in charge of internal affairs, senior women's administrator, Title IX liaison. And Dr. Kelly, I guess your business card is like a note card. You got a lot of titles on there.
That's a whole lot of titles, Joe. Oh my goodness! Until you know read it, it doesn't really seem like a whole lot until you just read all of those. Oh my goodness!
Well, let me tell you that the first thing I noticed with you, and you're very active on Twitter. I've seen you on your Twitter account. You are very impressive in your workout. I've seen you doing the lifting, man. I am really impressed.
That I was so excited, and people thought I was crazy, but my husband bought me a squat rack for Father's Day. Now, listen to that. For Father's Day, he bought me a squat rack because he knows how much I love lifting weights. And, the pandemic just kind of put a hold to all of that. So now I have garage fitness.
Well, I've seen it. It's very impressive. So we'll not be messing with you. That's okay. You come from Dartmouth. Just give us a little bit of your background and just what was it about this Vanderbilt position that appealed to you?
Got it. So just in terms of my background, and I'll give you the quick Cliff Notes version. Born and raised in St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands, and went to college at a small historically black institution in Charlotte, North Carolina. Got 2 degrees there, and then went on to grad school at the other school in the SEC in Tennessee. I'll just leave it at that. And got a master's there. Ended up going back to my alma mater to be the sports information director for 6.5 years. Wanted something a little bit more for myself in terms of being an administrator. But sometimes when you go back to your alma mater, they can't see you past anything but a student. So as hard as that was, I ended up becoming the associate AD at another school in the CIAA conference in Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Augustine's University, that has a fantastic track and field program. So did that for 7 years and then ended up becoming a full-time professor there my last year. Then I went on to become the athletic director at Keene State College, Division III school in Keene, New Hampshire. Now, Joe, if you asked the Virgin Islands young lady where is New Hampshire on the map, I couldn't tell you, but I knew when I got there. And it was a great experience. And while I was there, Dartmouth came calling. They were looking for specifically an ethnic minority female because that's not something that they ever had at the senior table. And I interviewed and got the job and was there for 2 years. But even within the 2 years, I was promoted to executive associate AD. And initially it was sort of by default, only because unfortunately my direct supervisor was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So I literally was thrusted into leading the entire varsity sports side of Dartmouth College athletics for between six and nine months without the official title. And then unfortunately he passed in January and I was promoted in February to that position and stayed there until Vanderbilt came. But I will tell you this. I mean, the question is why not Vanderbilt? When you look at, if you ever listen to Candace Story Lee talk, her passion, her desire, her willingness to want to be successful, it just grabbed me. When I spoke to Candace on the phone, I thought, oh my God, that's somebody that I want to work for. I knew a little bit about Candace, but I didn't know much about her at all until we had that conversation. So the opportunity to come back south, again, I'm a young lady from the Virgin Islands, but my husband is from Mississippi. So, you know, right now he's 5 hours from home being in Nashville. The chance to come back to the SEC and to do it at an institution that has high academics. So when you combine, you know, being at Dartmouth and being at a high academic Ivy League school and being able to do that now at a Power Five institution under the first and only black female athletic director in the SEC, I mean, you talk about historic. I just think that as women, we have a responsibility to help other women. And I know what I do well, and I do number two very well. So in long and short, that's why Vanderbilt.
I run down the list of titles you have had. Sports Information Director, Associate Athletic Director, Senior Associate Athletic Director, Executive Associate Athletic Director, Faculty Athletics Representative, Senior Women Administrator, and Athletic Director. I say that to ask you, what does that help you bring to the table, having worn all of those hats?
It allows you to be able to have a broad perspective, or allows me, I should say, to be able to have a broad perspective where I understand when our communications folks are saying certain things because I was a communications person. I understand the struggles that they're going through. I was the ultimate decision maker where all the decisions stopped and started with me as the athletic director. I understand how lonely that is at the top. I understand what it is to be a number two and you're supporting the vision of someone else, but you have your own responsibility for a certain area in the department. I understand the academic side, having completed a doctorate myself and having been that person, teaching classes and doing research and all those different things. So I can have those academic conversations with our provost or folks on the faculty side. So when you incorporate all of those different areas, I just think it allows me to have a broad perspective to be able to help our student athletes and this department succeed.
One moment left here with Dr. Christine Kelly. Great to visit with you for the first time. I'm just curious what your impressions of Vanderbilt have been over these few weeks that you've been on campus.
I will say this. One, Vanderbilt was doing a fantastic job in navigating COVID-19. I just think there's some institutions that aren't doing a really good job, and Vanderbilt is trying their very hardest to incorporate the social aspect of being a student, a collegiate student, with also the health and safety and well-being of everyone. So that's that. Two, Chancellor Dearmeyer, I just think his perspective, his vision, along with Candace's vision, we are moving forward. We are growing forward. And I ask folks to stay tuned, be patient. I understand that years and years and years of whatever happened prior to me getting here, but I guarantee you Vanderbilt is moving forward. And if you want to be a part of this train, we want you to be on this train and move forward with us.
Well, it's certainly great to have an opportunity to visit for a couple of minutes with you. We look forward to doing this again here in the not-too-distant future, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely, Joe. And make sure you and I need to do a deadlift session one day. How about that?
That would be great. Would love that. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Great to visit with you.
Afternoon.
Oh, my
you
pleasure.
Too.
Dr. Bye-bye. Christine Kelly with us, the Deputy Athletic Director for Internal Affairs at Vanderbilt. We'll come back and wrap up the Commodore Hour right after this. Well, we had a great Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. It was great to visit with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason as the Commodores get set to take on the Florida Gators on Saturday. That's an 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff from Vanderbilt Stadium. Gators are obviously one of the top teams in the nation, a team that's trying to play themselves into the picture for the college football playoff, and so quite a challenge for the Commodores coming up on Saturday. Coach told us, Keon Henry Brooks, we saw the pain that he was in, the injury. It looked like a rib injury that he was working through. He says he's going through treatment and is feeling better. Didn't say anything about his availability for Saturday, but some of it sounded encouraging in some ways. So we will keep our fingers crossed and keep an eye on that. We talked to Commodore head women's soccer coach Darren Ambrose. They get set to take on Tennessee tomorrow at noon in Orange Beach, Alabama, in the quarterfinals of the Southeastern Conference Women's Soccer Tournament. Darren is 5-1-1 in his career against the Tennessee Volunteers, and so hopefully they'll be able to find a way to bounce back and turn that around and find a way to win to advance to the semifinals. They lost to the Volunteers in overtime in Knoxville, 1-0 during the regular season. I think they're very jacked up about this opportunity in this game, so looking forward to that. It was great to have our first visit with Dr. Christine Kelly, who has got so many hats that she wears as Deputy Athletic Director, Senior Women's Administrator, in charge of Internal Affairs, Title IX Liaison, all those things. It was great to kind of get a little bit of an understanding of what she's all about and the role that she will fill at Vanderbilt. But first things first, coming up on Saturday, the Commodores and the Florida Gators, 11 a.m. Central Time, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you, Alex, in the studio. Thanks to all of you for being with us for the Commodore Hour.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.